Our New Testament reading is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. Hear now the word of our Lord. Jesus told them another parable. If you recall, last week we talked about the parable of the sower. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.'" And we'll skip down to 36, skipping over the parable of the mustard seed. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into a fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." And this is the word of our Lord. Like the parable of last week that we did, the parable of the sower. If you recall, the sower in this particular circumstance was God as well, and he was sowing his seed randomly. Some of it fell on the hard path, and some of it fell among the weeds, and some of it fell in the thin, shallow soil, and some fell in the good soil. And we learned that Jesus told in his parable that the birds came and quickly devoured the seed that was on the hardened path, and Jesus said that was the devil who would capture the seed from hardened hearts. And the soil, the seeds on the thin soil, if you recall, sprouted up very quickly, but they were on thin soil and had no root and did not last. And that is like the people who get quite jubilant about receiving their salvation. They answer the altar call or had some very emotional time. But in the end, as soon as something came and affronted them that was difficult, they abandoned their faith because their faith was emotional. It wasn't real. It wasn't, had no root and depth in Jesus Christ. And then if you remember, we talked about the seed that fell on the fertile soil, and it grew, and Jesus said that it grew, and sometimes it produced 100-fold, sometimes 60, and sometimes 30-fold. And what Jesus was talking about in this, that people who do receive his salvation, people, they continue to grow and mature in their faith, but they bear fruit. Nothing that we can do, no works that we can do, can bring our salvation. But in the book of John, in the book of 1 John, it says that, and in John it says, if you do not have fruit, then there was no salvation. So we're all who receive the word of Jesus Christ in their hearts do produce fruits for Him. They do good things for in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, the scenario is still agricultural, but it's a bit different. It's a different message. Different, but equally important. Jesus explains the message today that this time the sower, still the Lord, is sowing the word, is sowing the good seed. But then the devil comes along and sows bad seed. And it was kind of curious that he used these kind of, they sound a little strange to us, the idea of sowing seed. But you know, Jesus, in the prayer that he taught his disciples that we prayed a while ago, he said, we say, give us this day our daily bread. And for the world at the time, the people that Jesus was speaking to immediately, not those in the future, bread was their main staple. That's what they lived on. They had occasional fish and occasional meat, but they lived on bread. They lived on grain. That sustained them. So Jesus was talking about the things that they understood that would actually give life. Grain would give life. Just as Jesus' word gives us life. And that's important because we need to think that much of the world today is sustained on grains, be it wheat or rice or corn. It is still grain that sustains most of the people in the world today. Now, when Jesus was talking to these people, they understood agriculture. Everybody was involved, either depended upon agriculture to sustain them. So when he told them that the evil one had sown weeds or tares, as many scriptures says, many interpretations say tares. The tare, if you look in your bulletin, you see most of your bulletins have a picture of tares and wheat. And what the actual picture is, the tares are called bearded darnel. And bearded darnel will give, at the very least, great gastric distress and can make people quite ill and in some cases kill them. So, and it grows throughout the Middle East very, very commonly, and it takes a great deal of effort. Now modern sprays will keep the bearded darnel at bay, but it always tends to grow within the areas of wheat, so they have to be very careful about that. So when Jesus said that somebody came along and deliberately planted this tares or bearded darnel in here, the people would have been quite alarmed at hearing that. It would have been a very evil thing indeed, because their lives would have been threatened. They understood this. And the thing is that the difficulty was that the servants asked the planter, said, should we go and tear them up? And the planter, knowing that their roots were intertwined, that they would surely pull up the good with the bad and destroy the crop, said, no, don't do that. That when they're grown, the harvesters will separate them. And the people understood that because the bearded darnel, when it's fully mature, stands up perfectly erect. Whereas the wheat, heavy with the grain, sags. And so the harvesters would have been a great deal of effort, but the harvesters would have the ability to separate the wheat from the tares. I think it's hard for us to understand that some ways, but if you remember, From time to time you will hear, and there was a time back in the 80s where it was being done quite frequently. Before we had tamper-proof caps on our food and medicines, people were contaminating medicine and food with poisons and things that would irritate. And that resulted in us now having all of our food sealed with tamper-proof seals and all of our medicines sealed with tamper-proof seals. Well, any of you who were around at that time, which I think many of us were, remember the alarm that we felt. And this would be the alarm that those people would have felt, that someone would be so evil, so perverted as to contaminate the good with the bad. Jesus explained his parables to his disciples. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And if you recall, our first hymn was, "Come ye thankful people, come." And it was based on this very scripture. The one who sows the good seed is Jesus. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. And that is the people of Christ's church. That is the people of the church here on earth, the kingdom of God on earth. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. That is when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns and all face his judgment. And the reapers are the angels. Now he talks about the angels gathering the bad and throwing them in bundles to be put in the fire. It doesn't sound like an angelic thing to do, does it? Thanks to many of our fabulous, wonderful artists we had in the throughout the ages and everything, we've come to picture angels as these winged women with these beautiful cherub-like faces and everything. But actually, if you look in the Bible, All the angels were men that they depicted in the Bible, and that many of them were quite warrior-like and would lead God's people through times of battle and times of war and protect God's people. So the angels have a very different look in the Bible than we like to think about being angelic. Everything, the angels are guardians of God. And of course, when he refers to the devil, that is in fact Satan, a falling angel, along with other fallen angels. And certainly we don't think of them as angelic, even though they were made one and the same as the other angels. If you look at that picture I passed out, it's very difficult to tell one from another. And the plants that are shown there are actually mature plants and the easiest ones to tell the difference. It's clear to any reader that God's good people in the world coexist with those given over to evil. It's not hard for us to look and see that there's a lot of evil out in the world. We hear about it every day in the news. We read about it in the papers. We see it online. But more importantly, we hear it spoken on the street corner and behind us in the grocery line. And as we attend in public places, we hear frequently evil words being spoken and foul language being used and abusive behavior that we see. So it's easy to say, okay, well, what he's talking about here is that there's evil people in the world and good people in the world. That is not what this scripture is about. He specifically refers to it as children of his kingdom. His kingdom is the church. And what the scripture is saying is that Satan sows evil people, leads people to be in the church with God's people. And that's a very, very tough thing to handle. You know, some of Jesus' scripture is very hard to understand, very hard to accept, but it is the Word of God. And on two occasions, his disciples said, it said to Jesus, they said, "Rabbi, these are hard teachings." And Jesus acknowledged that they're hard teachings, but he continued to teach them. I bet most of us thought the sleeper agents was a 20th century invention. You remember all throughout the 50s and 60s we heard about sleeper agents that the communists had placed in our midst. There was even a television show about somebody who was a secret spy undercover. What Jesus is saying here is that there are sleeper agents within the church. Now, they're not like these sleeper agents that the communists sent over to live in our communities and for years and years and years until they were told and become part of the community, until they were told that now is the time to carry out your deed, whether it was spying or espionage or stealing some secret or whatever it was they were doing. Many of the people serving Satan are deceived in believing that they are serving God. That is the danger. For this reason, and if we read 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Because of this, we know that some who think themselves servants of the kingdom are actually serving Satan. Many believe that because they attended church forever, all their lives, they've always come to church, that they, in fact, are saved, that they are a people of God. You know, if you, I may have used this example before, but it's a fair one. If you're on a Super Bowl team, if you're on one of the teams that go to the Super Bowl, you get a ring for being on the team that went to the Super Bowl. Even if you sit the bench, you leave with a Super Bowl ring, even if you never got on the field. But it's different in the church. We don't get a crown in heaven simply for sitting in the pew. What Jesus is saying here is that we have to be wary and measure and test. Now, he's also telling us that we can't tell the saved from the unsaved. He said, don't go pulling the tares out because you'll destroy the good seed. So it's not up to us to determine who has received our salvation and who has not. But it is important that we measure what people tell us in church and on the radio and on television and in books. What people tell us about the Word of God, we have to measure that by doing our homework and studying Scripture and finding out if it's biblically based. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, "But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." That's from 2 Peter. Now, one thing we have to be on guard from is that unlike the wheat and the tares, the believer is never pure wheat or pure tare. We all have some tare in us. As we said in the confession, we all have sinned and fallen short. Paul said, those things that I would do, I do not do, and those things that I would not do, I do. He said, I've asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn from my side, but he will not. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So it's not ever going to be that our works are going to be perfect, that our deeds are going to be always right, that our thoughts are always going to be correct. We are totally dependent upon the grace of God. But we live in a world that is very complicated. It's easy to see where the believer gets into trouble. We see so much sin in this world. It's easy to believe in ourselves and believe that we're not really so bad as the things we see in the world. In truth, society in general today is so corrupt and so dishonest that it can make some pretty bad thought and behavior seem okay. Okay in our eyes, but God's eyes are unchanging and it's not okay. Even some of our so-called religious broadcast programs need to be tested by Scripture. Many are guilty, at the very least, of selling their wares in the temple. They have created an electronic temple calling people to worship, and they spend an equal amount of time trying to sell things to you as they do preaching what they say is the Word of God. They promise prosperity and substitute emotion for faith. Scripture says, the Son of Man will send his angels, and this is our reading this morning, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of the fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The scripture is an alarming one if we take it only by itself. But the thing you have to remember is we always, always, always interpret the Bible with the Bible. We always interpret scripture with other scripture. We always come to an understanding. We never take it out of context. Because if we do, we run astray always in that. Because the same Jesus Christ who tells us this parable of the tares, who tells us of the judgment in the end times, is the exact same Jesus Christ who says that I will come to me and share your burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, you're heavy laden. Jesus Christ offers us his salvation, offers us his truth. Jesus Christ is calling each and every one of us into his family of believers, into his family of salvation, into the hope that can only come through his word. It is a gift. It's something we can't earn. It's something we can't do anything to be worthy of. It is a gift totally of grace of God. Jesus Christ is calling to each and every one of us to bear fruit. Not just sit in the pew and hope for a crown, but to bear fruit for him, to do his will, to share his word with others, to reach out to the world around us. Jesus Christ gave his life on the earth so that none would perish, but have everlasting life. The good news of the gospel is, the good news of the gospel is that we are not simply living in a world where of total good and total evil. But anything without Jesus Christ as our core belief, as the core center of our life, is evil. And anything with Jesus Christ as our core center of life is good. For this reason, we can have hope. For this reason, we can have salvation. And because Jesus loves each and every one of us unconditionally and continues to reach out his love. None was more evil than the Apostle Paul out persecuting Christians, and yet Jesus drew him in. None went astray more than David, but he repented, and God used him for great things. Over and over again, we hear of people that Satan is pulling and using, that God brings around and uses and restores and renews completely. So the good news of Jesus Christ is the restoration and the hope that comes through salvation. So may we rejoice and always test anything we hear by reading Scripture, by studying, and by prayer. And we can depend on the Holy Spirit for His grace and for His good news. Amen.